Hello, this is Production Master Dave. I am here with one of today's contestants and one of my co-hosts on Extra Hot Great, Tara Ariano.
Hello.
We want to let you know up top about two things. This is not part of our Season 2 Battle of the Podcast coverage.
Certainly not.
It is a special episode we planned months in advance so we didn't have to deal with stuff going on today. And two, this being a crossover with Extra Hot Great, we have absorbed some of Extra Hot Great's Game Time's loosey-goosiness, so things won't be quite as stringent as you are used to.
Yes.
Six working together to fight evil
and stop Rita and all her menacing monsters
from destroying our planet Earth and ruling the universe with evil.
Look out, Rita, we're not backing down. We're the Power Rangers.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that quizzes you on TV even when you don't really want it. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and here with me today are Sarah D. Buncey Bunting.
You're going back to the minors, Rook.
Tara Getting Froggy Ariano.
I'm gonna crack those splints.
And Mark Safety Dance Blankenship.
No, you can dance when I want to.
Welcome, everyone, to our special crossover event. It's a special bonus episode of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for our listeners and a super dose of Game Time for Extra Hot Great listeners. But before we get into it too much, I got to introduce the Question Master himself. It is Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. In the proud tradition of crossovers immemorial, we have written some of the dumbest, most ridiculous games we have ever written. I cannot wait to share them with everyone.
Co-signed, 100%. And of course, we have to introduce the person who is, the embodiment of the word great, because not only do these two podcasts share the word great, they share a producer, and that producer is, of course, Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
That gets kind of
compromising.
Well,
naughty, extra hot, great.
Yeah, more like that.
Just play it.
Oh, R.I.P.
Thank you, Dave. We've got three extra special rounds of TV trivia for our extra hot, great panelists and guests today, and we're going to start it all off with a round of My Champion. That's the game where our contestants each choose a champion from pop culture, but we pick the battle that they're fighting. Sarah D. Bunting, who is your champion today?
My champion is Felicity's own Wiccan, Megan Rotundi.
And Tara Ariano, who is your champion?
My champion is Chester Cheetah.
And reclaiming the chair that has been so named for him, Mark Blankenship. Who is your champion today?
My champion is my boyfriend and yours, Patrick from Schitt's Creek.
Lovely, wow. Lovely. Champions are locked in. Our judge today will be Extra Hot Great's own David T. Cole. Knowing all that, let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's My Champion scenario asks, who would be the best at independently raising an orphaned child? Sarah D. Bunting, make the case for Megan Rotundi's solo parenting skills.
Megan Rotundi's solo parenting skills really boil down to her facility with, facilitating time travel. If there are any unforeseen screw-ups, she can just reverse time, go back and try it again. I feel that this puts her at a distinct advantage versus any and all opponents.
Thank you, Sarah. And Tara, how about Chester Cheeto?
First of all, it's Chester Cheetah, so put some respect on his name, literally.
I'm sorry.
Second, the question is who is going to be best at independently raising a child? This really rests on what do you want that child to do? What kind of child do you want that orphan to be? What kind of person do you want that orphan to grow up into? Maybe you want that orphan to be the kind of adult who is going to get out of sticky situations by either plying people with Cheetos or, evading capture or getting out of obligations by just showing off their Cheeto-covered fingers, making messes with Cheetos.
That might be the worst argument ever in this show.
Look, I think we all know who's going to win this one, so maybe I wasn't trying that hard. The point is, it's Mark's turn.
I was sure you were going to find a way to work in rags to riches, but I guess not. And Mark, why would Patrick from Schitt's Creek be an excellent single parent to an orphan?
Well, with great deference and respect to the delegate from Cheetahton, I must say that I believe that Patrick from Schitt's Creek is guaranteed to be the best because, essentially, in his relationship with David Rose, he has already raised a child and turned him into a man. He also demonstrated the acumen necessary to make a fancy general store really succeed as a business in a town like Schitt's Creek. And we can know for certain that he will teach that child the value of emotionally revelatory songwriting as a way of expressing your love and feelings for the people around you. And I think that we all can agree we want more children growing up with this world using the acoustic guitar to spread messages of hope. Thank you. I rest my case.
Thank you, Mark. All the arguments are in. It is now time for Dave to render judgment.
Anything you would like to add, Tara?
Do we have any Cheetos? Final question.
All right. Well, I do appreciate Tara's attempt at something, at speaking during the segment.
Listen, this question really threw a wrench in the works. This was not one that I was expecting.
And I do appreciate Mark's argument that Patrick is sort of dealing with a kind of orphan as it is right now. But I'm going to go with Sarah. And here's why.
Unexpected.
Ooh. The time travel angle does sort of give her a get out of jail free card. And I do appreciate that. But what I appreciate more is that she didn't sabotage herself by doing the right thing. That is going back further in time and saving the parents. No, she won't do that because she wants to win. My champion, and she did.
Yeah. Classic Megan.
Well, that means, Megan and Sarah, you have won My Champion. You not only will go first in round one, but you also get a crack at the half point. Ooh. That nifty little guy who helps break ties before they happen. Here is your half point question. Our favorite solo parent to an orphan on TV right now has got to be Din Djarin, a.k.a. The Mandalorian, which just returned for a second season. Among the new directors for season 2 is Bring It On director Peyton Reed. Reed's first ever television series credit, however, is from a 1991 animated series based on this 80s comedy. He's also the writer and uncredited director of a theme park attraction based on that same movie. What is that movie?
What is that movie? That's an excellent question, sir, that you have just asked me. This 80s movie, you said?
Yes. With an animated series.
I just don't know. Dream a little dream.
No, that is actually an animated series and theme park ride based on Back to the Future.
Oh.
That Peyton Reed had involvement with.
Good for him.
Sarah, you missed the half point, but you still get to go first in round one. After a discussion of this week's splashy premiere of The Mandalorian, in true Extra Hot Great fashion, it's time to go Around the Dial with a game called Around the Dial.
I see what you've done there.
Oh.
TV shows often switch channels in the course of their runs, so in this game, we're going to ask you about shows that went around the dial to other channels. I'll start off by telling you about any changes that the show made when it switched networks, as well as the networks it aired on. From that, you can try to guess the show for 10 points. So for instance, if I told you that when this show moved from Fox to Netflix, the characters all stopped being in the same room together for some reason, you'd know that I was talking about...
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development, absolutely. If you need a hint, I will tell you the networks the show aired on and the years it was on each, but then a correct answer is worth only 5 points. Whether you get it right or not, you'll also get a follow-up question asking about which one of three other shows was on that channel at the time of the switch. A correct answer there is worth another 5 points. Sarah D. Bunting leading off this round, here is your first changed network show. The move from Logo didn't change much, though the finales of the VH1 seasons have generally had 4 competitors instead of 3.
That sounds to me like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Absolutely. Also on Logo in 2016, you could have seen which of the following? Is it Jeffrey and Cole Casserole, The Big Gay Sketch Show, or Gay Skit Happens?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure. Big Gay Sketch Show, I think.
Gay Skit Happens was airing on Logo in 2016. Still 10 points for RuPaul's Drag Race. Over to Mark. It's generally agreed that the one season that ran on the CW after the move from the WB was the worst of the show. The later Netflix revival brought back the original creators, but managed to make most of the lead characters much more hateable. What show is this?
I'm gonna need the hint, I guess.
Sure. This show aired on the WB from 2000 to 2006, on the CW from 2006 to 2007, and on Netflix in the year 2016.
Oh my God, I have no idea.
This is, of course, Gilmore Girls. Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
One of those a few shows that went from the WB to the CW. But, Mark, you still can answer this. Which other one of these shows was on the CW in 2007? Is it Arrow, Gossip Girl, or Heart of Dixie?
In 2007?
Yes.
Okay, when I was walking around Manhattan, which posters was I seeing on phone booths? I'm going to go with Gossip Girl.
Yay!
Correct for five more points.
Remember it was all scandalous because they said OMG on the posters?
All right, Tara. When this show moved from the UPN to the CW, the lead left high school and was now at college, and then the show had two overarching plots per season instead of just one. They dropped the idea when it later went to Hulu, though.
Veronica Mars.
Yes, and when that switch happened in 2006, what other show was airing on UPN? Was it Everybody Hates Chris, Roswell, or Star Trek Voyager?
Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes, full 15 points for Tara on the first question of that round. Back to Sarah. During the initial run on Comedy Central, it was felt that the competition had grown stale and predictable. So when they moved to ABC, they added more diversity of teams and they changed the rules a bit. These changes, a focus on non-white men engineers, stuck around when it moved to Discovery Channel.
I really don't have the faintest idea. May I have a hint, please?
Yes, the show aired on Comedy Central from 2000 to 2002, ABC from 2015 to 2016, and on Discovery Channel from 2018 to the present.
Home Improvement, The New Class? I just don't know.
No, that was BattleBots. BattleBots.
Oh, yeah.
But Sarah, what other one of these shows was on Comedy Central in 2002 when that first switch happened? Was it Drunk History, Key and Peele, or Chappelle's Show?
Chappelle's Show.
Yes, very 2002, Chappelle's Show. All right, Mark, next question for you. When the show moved from NBC to ABC, they kept the same format but padded all the episodes to fill a two-hour slot instead of a 90-minute one. Given the increasing age of the star, they also came out much less frequently on the new channel.
Okay. NBC, ABC, padded, oldie. I'm gonna need the hint, please.
Sure. The original run on NBC was from 1971 to 1978, and the ABC run was from 1989 to 2003.
Is it Columbo?
Wow!
Oh, it is Columbo. Nice. And also on NBC in 1978 was Adam 12, Bonanza, or Chips?
I'm going to go with Chips.
Look at this guy.
All right, Tara. The revival of the show on the CW didn't have any of the original cast from the Fox years, but many of them, like Nicole Sullivan and Ike Barinholtz, served as hosts on the new version.
Mad TV.
Yes, nice. For 10 points. And what else was on Fox in the year 2009? Was it Hell's Kitchen, Temptation Island, or The O.C.?
In 2009, Hell's Kitchen?
Correct.
Dang.
All right, Sarah. This show has aired new episodes on 5 different networks, and while the overall premise and beats of the show remain the same over time, the subtitle and cast members get switched out frequently, like a candy-colored English-dubbed Menudo. Real fans say that Dino Thunder, which aired on ABC Family, was the best, while Megaforce, which aired on Nickelodeon, was the worst. Anything sounded familiar in there?
No. Sailor Moon. I don't know.
Look out, Rita. We're not backing down. We're the Power Rangers.
Yes, Power Rangers. Though Sailor Moon, pretty good guess.
No, it isn't.
Your follow-up, Sarah. What else was on Fox in 2001? Was it Hell's Kitchen, Temptation Island, or The O.C.?
I think this time it's... I think it's Temptation Island this time.
Correct. All right, Mark. When the show moved from Fox to Lifetime, they kept the same host and the same format and even the same phone number. After Lifetime canceled it, there was talking about moving into Fox News, but that didn't work out.
Oh God. His son had been killed or something, and that's why he started to host the show. America's Most Wanted.
Yeah. Amazing. Wow. That is how you do it.
Tears of rage.
Woo. All right, Mark. On Lifetime in 2011, you could have also seen which of the following? Is it Betty White's Off Their Rockers, Roseanne's Nuts, or Project Accessory?
I think that the real answer is The Nanny, because that's all I've ever watched on Lifetime. I'm going to say Project Accessory.
No, it is Roseanne's Nuts on that one.
Just sounds so mellifluous, doesn't it?
I don't know
what that one. Tara.
Shot down the street from our old house, probably.
Taylor, that was the reality show about Roseanne Barr's nut farm in Hawaii. Come on.
I thought it was just saying that she was nuts. It was the contraction.
It was a tour.
Possessive. Oh, it was a double? Of course. Of course it was.
This is a production master, Dave. We lived about a 2-minute walk from Roseanne's house in Hawaii, where she lived while this was shot and still owns. And every year I don't know if she still does. Because
I don't think it was still on by the time we moved there.
No. But I'm saying every year she would throw this giant come to my house Halloween party and everybody would come and get free stuff and dance and then leave. And that was her thing. But I don't think she was ever really on the island. So I don't really know who's throwing these parties.
It was weird.
You know who was throwing
these
them?
Nuts?
Q.
Oh, I think say the Menahune.
No.
Okay. Back to the show.
Tara, your next question. Even being part of NBC's Thursday night lineup didn't save this show from being punted to ABC as a mid-season replacement, though ABC reportedly killed some storylines that were too risque. At least it got to finish its run, but the less said about that last ABC season, the better.
Scrubs. And yes, agree. It was very bad.
But what other show was on ABC in 2009? Was it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Boston Legal, or Shark Tank?
Oh, Sugar. Wait, Shoot would have been okay.
Shoot's fine.
Boston Legal? Was that still on? I'm going to say Boston Legal.
That's what I would have said, too.
No, it's a Shark Tank. Shark Tank's been on forever.
Shark Tank's old.
I feel you, Tara.
And speaking of old, let's throw it to Scoremaster Dan for a score break.
Not where I thought that was going.
Sarah.
For the listeners, Taylor knows it was my birthday yesterday, so I'm a little bit older
birthday,
now.
Dan.
Certainly about twice as old as Taylor is at this point, unfortunately. At this point in the game, Sarah has 20 points, Mark has 25 points, and Tara was almost perfect. She has 40 points and is in the lead.
Dang.
We coming for you.
Throwing it back to Sarah. There wasn't much of a change when the show moved from UPN to the CW, but initially, when the show moved from the CW to VH1, the longtime host dropped out, though she did come back eventually.
To VH1? Oh my God, kill me for knowing this. America's Next Top Model.
You are still in the running. to win this game, Sarah.
Yeah.
But what else was on VH1 in 2016, Sarah? Is it The Amber Rose Show, Dating Naked, or Scott Baio is 46 and pregnant? Question mark.
Oh my God. America, you're the worst place. Dating Naked.
The Amber Rose Show on that one.
Oh, okay.
The Amber Rose Show. All right, Mark. One of the longest running weekly shows in U.S. history, this show has had more than 1,000 episodes since starting its run on UPN. The biggest shift during all of those moves have to do with the relationship between this show and its sister program. This is the one that runs 2 hours a week on Friday nights, now on Fox, its highest profile home. In the past, it aired on the CW, Sci-Fi, and USA, and we'd all rather forget about the years that aired on My Network TV. Anything sounded familiar in there?
Hey, can I have the hint, please?
Sure. Let me just roll up my sleeves on this hint. It ran on UPN from 99 to 06, the CW from 06 to 08, My Network TV from 08 to 2010, Sci-Fi from 2010 to 2015, USA from 2016 to 2019, and Fox from 2019 to the present.
Good
and yet,
Lord.
I feel like there's a possibility that I won't have heard of it somehow. Cut. I have no idea.
Answer there is WWE SmackDown.
Oh, wrestling. Sure.
Wrestling. You still get a follow-up guess, though, about what was on Sci-Fi in 2010. Was it 12 Monkeys, Battlestar Galactica, or Ghost Hunters?
I'm going to go with Ghost Hunters.
Yes,
yeah. Correct
done.
For that follow-up. And back to Tara. Once it moved from KTMA to the Comedy Channel, they had the budget for more puppets, and not much changed when comedy merged with the Ha Channel to make Comedy Central. By the time the show moved to Sci-Fi, they had a whole new cast. The Netflix years had yet another mostly new cast and were produced in L.A., unlike all of the previous seasons, which were put together in Minnesota.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Nice. Yes. And at the time of one of those switches from Comedy Central, what else was on Comedy Central in 1996? Was it The Daily Show, The Man Show, or South Park?
The Man Show?
Was The Daily Show. Daily
oh,
Show.
Right.
With Craig Kilborn.
Right.
Everyone's last question in round one. This one is for Sarah. When this cop show moved from NBC to TNT, Tom Everett Scott was demoted to a recurring character, but Regina King got to stick around.
Oh, thanks, Picky. Southland.
Thanks you. You won my champion. That's the reason you got this question, and by determining the order. You don't have to thank Picky. Thank yourself.
Thanks, self.
Picky's not here, man.
But what else was on TNT in 2010, Sarah? Was it The Librarian, Major Crimes, or Rizzolian Isles?
Oh, God. So many things I heard of and didn't watch. I think it was Rizzolian Isles.
Nice.
Yes.
I have a theory about Rizzolian Isles, which is if it's in a multiple choice question, that's probably the answer because you can't help but have
yes.
Rizzolian Isles be the answer.
Of course.
But what if Franklin and Bash is one of the other options?
Ditto Franklin and Bash, I was just going to say.
See, folks, the difference is I watched every episode of Rizzolian Isles, only watched like 3 episodes of Franklin and Bash. So I'm going to punish the rest of you for Rizzolian Isles.
That's 3 more of Franklin and Bash than any sane person should watch. Mark, because they weren't producing it, NBC canceled this show even when it was their top-rated program on Monday nights. CBS picked it up and aired it alongside another supernatural-themed hour-long on Fridays.
I just have to go back and say we were just doing a little Franklin and bashing.
Boo!
Yes.
Okay. I need the hint, please.
Sure. This aired on NBC from 2005 to 2009, and then on CBS from 2009 to 2011.
Is it Heroes? No.
No, this one is Medium. Medium with Patricia Arquette.
I would have guessed Ghost Whisperer, but at least I was in the right sort of neighborhood.
Yeah, it was the same show. I've never seen an episode of either. I can't make that that Minis. Proclamation. Okay.
Ghost Whisperer was the other show they paired it with on Friday night. So when they moved to CBS, they had a two block of Ghost Whisperer and Medium.
What a time.
Taylor's interest in Medium was extra small.
Yes.
Oh.
keep them coming, everybody. This is great. Mark, what else was on CBS in 2009 when Medium made the switch? Was it Blue Bloods, Elementary, or The Mentalist?
The Mentalist.
Wow. So authoritative.
I knew that because the other two shows I watched from the apartment I currently live in, and I didn't live there until 2010 when I was single-handedly bringing down the age demo for CBS.
Oh, yeah. You and me both. Blue Bloods forever. Except not.
And Tara, closing out round one. When this show moved from CBS to the CW, where it probably should have been all along, they dropped the biggest name in the cast and obediently moved into a cheaper set for their headquarters.
CBS to the CW, where it should have been all along. Supergirl? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Well done.
And what else was on the CW in 2016? Was it Beauty and the Beast, Riverdale, or The Carrie Diaries?
Oh.
Riverdale? Damn.
Beauty and the Beast was on at that point. Beauty and the Beast. Well, that'll wrap it up for round one. Coming up next is a score update from Dan, and on to round two of Pop Culture TV Extra Hot Great Trivia.
It's time for the Hitchcock Fighting the Daleks score break. Will the Master of Suspense's clapperboard stop the evil creature's deadly beams? No, it won't. After one round of play, Tara is in the lead with 60 points. Sarah has 45 points. And Mark is in third place with 35, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Thank you, Scoremaster Dan. Still plenty of game to go and a little extra help coming to our third place contestant. It's the Threequalizer. Mark, we've got a quick chance for you to make up a little bit of that ground with your Threequalizer question. I'll give you a question that has three possible answers, and you will have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you match. Your question is, aside from the seven episodes of Maximum Bob that aired before cancellation, what are the three TV series based on writings by Elmore Leonard?
Aren't his books the ones that have, like, pink flamingos and shit on the cover? I think they are. Did they ever make a TV show out of LA Confidential? Okay.
Two more guesses.
Did they make a TV show out of Get Shorty? Yes, they did.
10 points.
Okay.
One more guess.
My voice got high on that one. Oh, my God. What was the other one? I'm going to say Chester Cheeto's Detective Adventure.
Only in our hearts.
You're close. It was Chestified.
Oh, Chestified.
Yes, Justified, of course, being the longest running series based off Leonard. And of course, we also have Karen Sisko, which took Jennifer Lopez's character from Out of Sight and spun it to TV and cast her with Carla Gugino.
Yeah, sure. But I'm happy to accept those 10 points that I earned in my upper register.
You're tied for second now. It's a game. But before we get into round two, let's pause a moment and learn a little bit more about the players with their likes and dislikes and all their tastes. First, we have Sarah D. Bunting, who, if she was going car shopping, would have a particular TV vehicle she'd like to have in her garage.
I would like to buy Brandon's Mustang from Beverly Hills 90210 and take actual good care of it. First of all, I wouldn't keep buying lemons and making my dad bail me out. And second of all, I would, you know, keep it indoors and not walk on the fucking upholstery. So, yeah, it's more of raising the orphaned car of TV than it is purchasing it. But, any chance that I have to show Brandon Walsh up as a worthless, I will take it in yellow Mustang form.
Thank you, Sarah. And Tara Ariano has come around on a recent streaming service launch to the point where it is now her most essential.
That is true. I am all in on HBO Max. I mean, I can't really choose one as the ultimate streaming service. They are all my children in a sense, but HBO Max has absorbed the DC universe, which means it's the home of shows like Harley Quinn and Doom Patrol, which have become very dear to me. But they also have absorbed a whole bunch of British sitcoms that had not aired here in any legal form previously. And if you have not gotten in on, for example, Stadlet's Flats, you should. That's one of the many that you can enjoy there. All of the Alan Partridge series, all four of them are there. So yeah, HBO Max is it gets a lot of flack because people who have Rokus can't watch it. Sorry, Dan, but the rest of us can. So that's not
they
my
get
fault.
A lot of European true crime too. Good choice.
Yeah,
and of course, Mark Blankenship, always a welcome voice to hear on Extra Hot Great, has an idea for a video game based on My So-Called Life. Can you tell us about that idea?
I don't want to like toot my own horn, but this is a brilliant idea for a video game. Okay. It's called My So-Called Life, Save the Liberty Lit. And what happens, it's a side-scrolling action game where Angela has to go through various levels of her high school in order to get to the top floor before the principal can throw all of the Liberty Lits into the fire, which for some reason is on the top floor. Don't worry about that. So she starts, Okay, we're going to flip it here on the spur of the moment. See, I'm creative. It's down in the boiler room. And so that means that the last level, you have to get Jordan to help you get down into the boiler room. Because we know he knows where that is. But other things that happen, like she has to get out of her math class by like passing math. And so Abyssinia can help her do that. And then she runs down onto the lower floor and she has to find Sharon Chersky and convince Sharon Chersky to help her. And like, it's just, there's a lot of possibilities. And I know I said it was a side-scrolling action game, and now I realize it's more of a Legend of Zelda quest game. That's fine. It's developing, but it's still brilliant because there are so many things that Angela does that if you think about them are kind of like quest narratives that were shoved into each episode. So you just take like five episodes, turn them into five levels, done. Masterpiece game.
I'm convinced.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mark. All right, round two is upon us, so that means it is time for the canon. Presenting for the canon this week is me. Take it away, me. The Extra Hot Great panel is, of course, the arbiter of the TV canon. But how much do you know about the literary canon? In this game, we've added characters from well-known TV shows into works from the admittedly problematic canon of Western literature. You have to identify both the show the characters are from and the canonical work we've added them into from a short excerpt. So if the excerpt were, "Of late, the ghost of my father hath appeared among these ramparts and beckoned me heed him," saith the prince. "A ghost?" asked the hound. He jumps into the arms of his master. You'd know that the show was
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, and the canonical piece of literature was
Hamlet.
Yes, Hamlet. You will get 10 points for naming the show and another 10 for naming the work of literature. If you need help with the show, I can give you the names of some characters from that show who sound like they might have come from a novel, after which point the answer is only worth 5. If you need help with the canonical work, I can also give you a list of 3 titles it might be, and you can pick out the correct answer also for 5 points. You'll only get 1 guess at each part of the question, so use it wisely. Mark is up first. Here's your first excerpt. "I couldn't believe the verdict and sat stunned. 'Miss Jean Louise, stand up,' the Reverend told me as we watched from the gallery. 'Jack McCoy passing.'"
Okay, that's it?
That's it. That's your whole excerpt.
Well, the show is definitely Law and Order.
Can I ask for a hint on the book? Or you can hear the clue again.
Louise. Oh, wait. Is it To Kill a Mockingbird?
Ooh.
Of course it was.
It
what
is.
Am I saying?
Full points for Mark.
That would have been an. I would have actually had to leave the country. And...
All right, Sarah. "Amid the tumult of the station, Alexei Kirillovich Vronsky saw the shattered form of his lover laying on the track." I don't know why I went in full Russian after the Russian name.
Keep
it just
going,
sort of stuck.
Keep it going. Love okay. it.
"This is very bad, Percy," says Mr. Conductor. "The steam locomotive's face twisted in approximation of human emotion. I never should have left Soldor," he sobbed.
Oh, God. Okay, is this... is the show Game of Thrones?
The show is not. The show is Thomas the Tank Engine or Shining Time Station.
So you were close.
Yes. Yeah. Basically the same thing.
Equally violent. Sure.
But you can still take a guess at the novel.
Okay. Anna Karenina?
Correct. Anna Karenina, still for 10 points. Tara.
Yes.
That makes sense. Sorry to have bothered you, said the maddening detective, turning towards the door. He knew I had killed her, he knew. But before he left, the cursed man paused and again came towards me. If it's no trouble, I just have one more question about the theory of the Superman you were talking about.
Okay, the show is Columbo.
Back again.
Yeah. Is the book Man and Superman?
Nope, the book is Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, which takes some of the same ideas.
But big ups to the Shaw reference, Tara. I see you.
All right, Mark. Some years ago, never mind how long precisely, having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular to interest me on shore, I thought I would sail about a little and see the depths of the watery part of the world, advancing science and finding camaraderie with a talking dolphin. Dolphins, of course, being fish and not rightly categorized among the whales.
Okay, is it Moby Dick? And is the show... Okay, y'all, I have a guess. Do I want to risk it and just go for it? Or do I want to take the hint? Live once. Flipper!
Damn. Oh, that's what I would have said.
That's what I would have done.
No, the show we're looking for there is Sequest DSV.
Damn. Oh, we see you, Jonathan Brandis.
Your tip there is that it was a talking dolphin, as on Sequest DSV, unlike Flipper, who was notably silent.
He could squeal.
See, now that's the thing.
Apparently
you thought...
he wasn't notably silent.
Yeah, also, Flipper said more with his eyes than most of us ever say with our mouth.
Yeah, Dan.
I don't know.
We'll be hearing from Flipper's agent, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Flipper's dead by now, right? He's got
okay, see, now you're going to try to just be
way
cruel.
Way to bring it down. Sorry. Jeez, Taylor.
Teachers are using this episode in their literature courses, and you're going to throw this in there? Hank D.
Moving on. Sarah. Here's your next excerpt. You know, old chap, that Emily Thorne is quite the mystery, said Tom. She claims to have gone to Yale, but I never knew her there. There's something a little off about the way she's trying to get into all the best parties in West Egg. But then a lot of people around here are trying to reinvent themselves.
Oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure I really would have loved to see a mashup of this on TV. The show is Revenge, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the work of literature is The Great Gatsby.
Beautiful.
Full 20 points for Sarah. Over to Tara. Anyway, we kept getting closer and closer to the carousel, and you could start to hear that nutty music it always plays. And I look over, and that girl, Angela, she's over there just looking at me. We were talking once about how everyone is a phony, and she said something about the way I lean against things and how she likes that.
Okay, the show is My So-Called Life. And
back again!
The book is Catcher in the Rye.
Yes, another full 20 points.
Another good mashup, by the way.
Mark, he used his cell phone with coverage never ending, calling his scarlet tressed love that monster we vanquished. It was not alone in this dark sulfurous cavern. Its deadly mother abides.
Well, it's Beowulf.
Beowulf is the novel, or poem, however we're classifying it.
Really, it comes from an oral tradition, so it would be somewhat incorrect to classify it as either. This has been your dramaturgy moment. Okay.
It's an epic.
A cell phone and a redhead on a cell phone? I need the whatever the hint is for the TV show.
This TV show contains characters Walter Skinner and Monica Reyes.
Is that the X-Files? Of course it is!
It is the X-Files.
I heard Walter Skinner was like, The Simpsons. Oh, boy.
Nice work, Mark. Sarah, everyone's always talking about Joe, she complained. Joe's a great writer. Joe should be with Lori. Joe's the prettiest. Joe, Joe, Joe.
Oh, my God. Oh, the March Bunch. That's great. I believe the show is the Brady Bunch. And the work is Little Women.
Yes. Full points for Sarah. And Tara. Ooh. Fleet-footed Achilles stayed in his tents even as the bright-helmeted Trojans pushed the Achaeans back toward their black ships. The wounded were carried on their shields to the tents of the doctors who treated them while despairing at the futility of a war that had gone on for 10 years and creating a very hostile work environment for women.
Okay, the work is the Iliad and the show is MASH.
Wow.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
After a few very strong answers, we'll throw it to a score break from Dan.
We have an incredibly close game right now. Mark currently has 90 points, Sarah is just ahead with 95, and Tara is only barely ahead of them with 110 points. It is still very much anyone's game.
It's alive in here.
Tighten up. Back to Mark. Hidden away in the attic, the once happy trees bore the weight of his age and his sins, becoming twisted, unearthly things, even as he remains untouched.
Okay. I mean, is it the picture of Dorian Gray? But there's a tree? Somebody lives in a tree and is a virgin?
Read him again.
Oh, read it again.
Hidden away in the attic, the once happy trees bore the weight of his age and his sins, becoming twisted, unearthly things, even as he remained untouched.
Okay, they live in a tree. Is it Swiss Family Robinson?
The happy trees were the big hint in there. It is The Joy of Painting, Bob Ross's show.
Wow. Okay.
See, Mark, the idea is that he paints these happy trees, but it's Dorian Gray.
I got you, boo. We're real peaceful over here, and I've got a big old white guy afro. Yes, I got you.
All right, to Sarah. Be this purgatory? Writers promise that wasn't our story. Nay, saith Virgil, our guide taciturn, but to the island you must quickly return.
What? Okay, the work is the Inferno.
Is that correct?
I think we should count.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
And the show is Lost?
Well done.
The Inferno or the Divine Comedy, we would have accepted as the Inferno is part of the Divine Comedy. Over to Tara. Elizabeth had consented to walk with the professor, though she was sure that there was nothing he could say that would turn her mind away from the fixed view she had of him. They spoke of Netherfield Park and its qualities, and he presently seemed anxious. "Elizabeth, I know you think very little of me," he said, "but you have let your predispositions get in the way of true understanding. Remember, at the time, we were on a break."
Okay, the book is Pride and Prejudice. And the show is Friends.
Back to Mark. "I've been thinking, Granny," said Jed, turning to the horizon over Route 66. "Those folks in California, they think they can scare us with their newfangled ways. But how can you frighten a man whose hunger is not only in his own cramped stomach, but in the wretched bellies of his children? You can't scare him. He has known a fear beyond every other. With all that money from the Texas Tea, why, we'll show them Los Angeles folk what's for."
Well, it's the Beverly Hillbillies. Is it also Grapes of Wrath? Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Very good.
Honestly, one clearly inspired the other.
I would have guessed Dallas, so well done.
And Sarah. "This might look like Monsieur Darnay," said Mr. Grissom, "but DNA doesn't lie. It's his twin. Madame Defarge has got the wrong man."
Oh, Madame Defarge. Okay, so the show is CSI Original Flavor. And the book, which was written by Charles Dickens and features a character named Sidney Carton, who does not yell sink me. My brain is doing that Tower Records thing. Can I have the hint on the book, please?
It is either A Tale of Two Cities, Great Expectations, or Oliver Twist.
It's A Tale of Two Cities.
Yes, for 5 points. And Tara. "Bertha is an amazing girl," said Mr. Rochester. Not anyone would sit in an attic going mad for years waiting for me, but there's just something special about Jane, and if I were to somehow find myself on a more equal social footing with her, I think she'd definitely get the last rose.
Wow.
Would you believe that I was writing about Jane Eyre today with regard to the King of Queens? Because I was.
I would.
The book is Jane Eyre, and the show is The Bachelor.
And before we can wrap up round two, every good canon presentation ends with a vote, yay or nay. So, based on this game, Tara, how do you vote? Yay or nay?
Yay, Taylor. Good job.
Dan wrote this one. Oh. I did nothing.
Yay, Dan. Good job.
Mark?
A hearty yes.
And Sarah?
It's a yay for me, dog.
Great. There it is. This game, the canon, you have been inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Let's see if all you geniuses out there can guess the answer to this pop culture riddle from Scoremaster Dan.
Here's the question, a simple task, but your brain is not up to the task. Uh-oh, time to cut and run. So you ask, is it Benson?
Think you know the answer? Submit it for the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com. And now, bam. Americans love a widder and will not tolerate... Oh, I forgot the yup. Americans love a widder. Yup.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It is time for winners and losers of the moment. Dan has both of them.
At this point, our winner, although that subject to change, is Tara with 150 points. Sarah has 130 points. And Mark is in third place with 120. It's still close. He'll just need three questions in round three in order to catch up with Tara.
Thank you for that update, Dan. Those standings, however, are not yet set in stone. It is time for everyone's last opportunity for big point scoring. It's the lightning round. Players will have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are... These are their stories. The one with a lot of questions. The real life fire sagas. And Adam, Eric, and Little Joe on the Ponderosa. While the names of those topics are slightly mysterious, do your best to choose something you think you're going to do well on, or perhaps try to keep something easy from a fellow player. Mark, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are These Are Their Stories, The One with a Lot of Questions, The Real Life Fire Sagas, and Adam, Eric, and Little Joe on the Ponderosa.
I'm going to have to go with These Are Their Stories.
Okay. These Are Their Stories, of course, comes in the opening narration to Law and Order. So you'll be answering questions about Law and Order.
I just want to say, if that had not been what it was about, I would have left this meeting immediately. Okay, carry on.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Mark, are you ready?
Yes.
This Quebecois has more writing credits on original flavor Law and Order than anyone else.
Renee. Someone. Pass.
She starred as Leslie Abramson on Law and Order True Crime.
Falco. Edie.
This detective got exiled to Staten Island for misconduct.
Chris Noth. As Mike.
Mike Logan. Somehow she was on more episodes of Criminal Intent than Vincent D'Onofrio.
Pass.
Bebe Neuwirth headed up this spinoff.
Trial by Jury.
It wasn't until she got fired that viewers found out that this character was a lesbian.
Serena Sutherland.
Detective Munch is obsessed with conspiracy theories surrounding his assassination.
Kennedy.
Christopher Maloney simultaneously starred on SVU and this show.
Pass.
During the 2008 presidential election, TNT stopped showing episodes featuring this actor.
Fred Thompson.
Bradley Walsh starred in this spinoff that ran from 2009 to 2014.
Pass.
This Melrose Place actress secretly gives Robert Vaughn ED pills.
Pass.
This actress appeared on more episodes of Mothership Law & Order than anyone else.
Esapatha Murkison.
SVU got Cousin Oliver'd with the addition of this character, Benson's son.
Pass.
After clashing with Janet Reno, he left the series, claiming he was being muzzled.
Michael Moriarty. Too late.
But after the buzzer, far enough, too late.
And he was on Oz, damn it. I can't believe I did. Darn it. I can't believe I didn't get that one.
All right, Dan, give us the Mark report.
Well, we've got a couple of passes to go over here. It was Renee Balser, who is the Quebecois with more writing credits than anyone else on Original One.
I think it's Balsay, probably.
Catherine Urbe was on more episodes of Criminal Intent than Vincent D'Onofrio. As you already said, Christian Maloney was simultaneously on SVU and Oz. Bradley Walsh starred in Law & Order UK, which ran with recycled scripts for 5 full years. Marcia Cross was on the episode where she was secretly giving Robert Vaughn erectile dysfunction pills. And Noah is the name of the hateable character,
Noah.
Benson's son, on SVU.
Worse.
Mark got a total of 6 questions correct, giving him a total of 180 points. That means Mark is now in the lead. Sarah has 130, so she'll need 5 questions she wants to tie Mark in 6 questions in order to put herself into first place.
Sarah, your remaining category choices are the one with a lot of questions, the real-life fire sagas, and Adam, Eric, and Little Joe on the Ponderosa.
Oh, God. I mean, I feel like there's Game of Thrones and Westerns and Friends, and I'm not going to be all that good at any of these, but I've got to try to cut Tara's legs off. So I'm going to take the one with all the questions.
Yeah,
and
good
hope
call.
For the best.
Not a bad strategy. You're right on that. That is going to be questions about Friends following their episode title naming scheme. 90 seconds on the clock. Sarah, are you ready?
Not really. Let's do it.
In The One with the Embryos, neither Monica nor Rachel know this basic fact about Chandler.
He's short.
His job. A special feature on the Season 8 DVD set lets you actually play this confusing game.
I don't know. Pass.
His use of the phrase going commando is cited in the OED.
Joey?
Matthew Perry and Jennifer Aniston starred in a video guide to this operating system.
Windows?
The main characters on Friends are all named after characters from this show.
I don't know. Mary Tyler Moore?
All My Children. In Season 7, Ross gets a crush on his cousin, played by her.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Pass.
Unlike his character, Matt LeBlanc can actually speak this foreign tongue.
Spanish?
French. Monica has 11 categories for these, including fancy, guest, and fancy guest.
Towels.
Outside of the 6 titular Friends, this character appears in the most episodes of the show.
Gunther?
Joey has this many sisters.
2.
7. They hate Chandler because they think he got high in their house years ago.
Probably Monica and Russ's parents.
Nice job, Sarah.
Good job.
Dan, how about that Sarah report?
You know, Sarah didn't give us too many passes. I do want to clarify, though, Matthew Perry and Jennifer Aniston starred in the video guide to Windows 95, just so we don't get any letters about that. It wasn't Windows 3.1 or something.
Did one of them play Bob the Paperclip?
Special feature on the Season 8 DVD set lets you actually play Bamboozled, the game show Joey was trying to be the host of. And in Season 7, Ross had a crush on his sister, who was played by Denise Richards. While Dave did buzz Sarah correct for her answer after the buzzer, it was not for points, just to let the audience at home know it was correct. That means Sarah got 4 questions correct in her round, giving her a total of 170 points. That means she is 10 points behind Mark, who is still in the lead. Tara needs to get 3 correct answers in order to tie with Mark, and 4 if she wants to take the win.
You can do this, Tara.
All right, Tara.
Good luck, Tara.
Your 2 remaining categories are the real-life fire sagas and Adam, Eric, and Little Joe on the Ponderosa.
Thanks. I hate them. These both sound bad to me. I agree with Sarah that the fire one sounds like Game of Thrones, which is bad news for me, probably. So Westerns is also probably bad, but I guess I'm going to have to take that. And oh no, Dave is celebrating. That's probably bad news for me, given how excited he is for me to play it. So yeah,
let's Chester the Cheetah and get Dave points for our answer.
Okay, let's do that one. Little Joe, etc.
Adam, Eric, and Little Joe on the Ponderosa are the sons of Ben Cartwright on Bonanza. So since they're Ben's sons, we're talking Bensons.
Okay.
So here we go.
All right.
90 seconds. Tara, are you ready?
We'll see. Yes.
This character was spun off from soap to his own series.
Benson.
Mariska Hargitay played this detective for decades on SVU.
Olivia Benson.
Sam Marin voices this boss character on regular show.
Benson.
1993's Tombstone was partially filmed in this Arizona town.
I mean, I'm going to say Benson.
This is the first name of Damon Wayans' drill sergeant character in Major Payne.
Probably Benson.
In a classic 1930 crime flick, William Powell investigates the murder of this man.
Benson.
In Time Bandits, this character is the evil genius's servant.
Oh my God, we just watched this. Benson.
This voice actor played the Beast in Disney's 1991 production.
Robbie Benson.
Lloyd Bridges played this fictional president in Hot Shots.
Benson.
He has a recurring role as Ezekiel on Amazon's adaptation of The Boys.
Benson.
She played Tara on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Amber Benson.
James Noble plays Governor Gatling on this sitcom.
Benson.
She was the original voice of The Little Mermaid.
Jodie Benson.
This Manitoban actress had a recurring roles on Stargate and all sorts of Hallmark movies.
It was Benson.
I would just like to say...
I am enraged. Just enraged.
For the sake of the Extra Hot Great record, I am delighted to be here for this category because I was the one who kept guessing Benson for all of those BTV themes back in original flavor, like Upper West Side Apartment, Extra Hot Great, Now Lost to Time. So,
wow.
You're welcome, Tara.
what a beautiful confluence of things. All right, Dan,
I hate you both. Never talk to me again.
Before we move on to the scores, can we please reveal the last category, which we all thought in our minds the way it was going to play out was Mark was going to pick this category, Sarah was going to pick the one Mark picked, and Tara was going to pick the one Sarah picked. I am delighted the way it turned out, but let's find out. Read the category again. Let's all guess what it could have been. It wasn't Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. What
the
category, is it?
The real life fire sagas. Everyone take a guess.
It's about that Iceland movie on Netflix
Eurovision. Okay.
Yeah. Real life fire sagas, questions about actual Eurovision acts.
Okay. So if he had taken that, Sarah would have taken Law and Order and I would have taken Friends.
Probably.
So this is really probably Mark's fault when you think
kind
about it.
Is.
No one should have taken the Western one. Ultimately,
enraged.
Mark is the villain here.
Raged.
That's true. Well, now that we've fully moved on from it, Dan, can you give us the Tara report?
Tara did amazingly well at some really
incredible,
difficult questions in there. She got 13 correct answers, which I want to point out is not actually our record for the most number of correct answers in a round three. So apparently you can do better even when you don't know all the answers going in. That gives her a total of 280 points, and that means our final scores are Sarah with 170 points, Mark with 180, and Tara is our victor today with 280 points.
Yay.
Yes, congratulations, Tara.
Congratulations,
hey,
Tara.
I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just sitting
here. I'm not
here.
Mad at you.
Well, I don't know why Taylor sounds mad about it.
But we still get to say goodbye to Sarah and Mark. Thank you guys for being here. This was super duper fun. Sarah, where should listeners be keeping their eyes and ears out for you this week?
I'm about to be a guest of the state of New York for murder. But before that, You can check out my true crime review newsletter at bestevidence.fyi. Jokes aside, Dan Cassino has contributed many insightful comments therein, and we would love to have you. It's mostly free.
Lovely. Thank you, Sarah. And Mark, where should we be looking for you online and elsewhere?
Well, you guys, 6 weeks ago, you might have heard me on Pop Culture Happy Hour. Okay. Well, I'm happy to report that if you just can't get enough of Sarah and I talking to each other, you can hear us every week on our pop music podcast, Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs.
Hopefully talking about Depeche Mode. I don't know if you guys have in the past. I'm only 50 episodes in, but I'm catching up.
Oh, yeah.
You've only got 154 to go.
Okay, great.
Good luck. Drink water.
And a big congratulations to Tara. Tara, Woo! You have won. What does Tara win? Does she win anything?
Cheetos.
Cheetos, yes.
I'm going to be looking behind me for the rest of my life, apparently. Oh,
and that's prize enough for everyone.
Yeah.
Wow. But what would you like to plug this week, Tara? Where should people be looking for you?
Sarah and I wrote a book about television, specifically about Beverly Hills 90210. So you can find a very special 90210 book wherever books are sold. It is in hardcover and also in audiobook format, which we read our very own selves. So if you enjoy our dumb voices, you can hear us reading our book. And you can also hear us talking about 90210 and Melrose Place on our podcast, Again With This, every Monday.
Thank you so much. Well, guys, that is it for another episode of the Extra Hot Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. We brought it on to talk about Peyton Reed and single parents on The Mandalorian. We went around the dial with stops at shows that started and ended on different networks. We made a novel case for our favorite TV shows to be mashed into the Western canon of literature, and we closed the book on that subject. We crowned winners and losers of the game when Tara took home a very grounded lightning round victory. Next up, we'll continue our Battle of the Podcast Season 2 of Play here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, so don't miss it. I'm Taylor S. Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan,
Renee Balser,
and Production Master Dave,
it was Benson.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you right here next time for the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show and Extra Hot Great as separate entities once again. Hey, everybody, remember when Dan read that riddle before the lightning round? Well, if you think you know the answer to it, submit it for the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com. While you're there, make sure to subscribe and check out all the past episode archives, brackets, and show notes.
Social capital in the United States is at an all-time low, with people increasingly living by themselves and socializing only with their immediate friends and family. If you want to break out of that bubble and re-enter the world, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @USAQuizShow. We're always here to talk to you, take your calls, and try and put off for a time the cold embrace of the void.
Got dark. The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is produced by Scoremaster, Quizmaster, Dan Cassino, our host, Taylor S. Cole, and yours truly, producer, David T. Cole. And don't forget Extra Hot Great at extrahotgreat.com for all your This Week in TV podcast needs.
Don't forget to subscribe to both shows, and we'll see you next time.
While we're here, can we just do the Fire Saga one?
Yeah.
I'm just so curious.
I'll tack it on the end. Yeah, I was going to suggest that.
Yeah, I learned so much doing that category, Mark. I want you to play it.
Okay, for the record, I just want to say this because I argued for it in the chat. I thought the title had to be way more obvious than it was. And I like to say, I was right.
You were.
My clue was like the landmass, the between the Urals and the Atlantic and something. Yeah. It was like went on for a while, but it was.
Oh, yeah. You guys had a whole back and forth that was way over my head.
You couldn't do it, Dave, because Israel and Australia are in the contest.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It's just zero.
See, you're sacrificing, accuracy for understanding.
Okay. Good luck, Mark. I believe in you.
For Mark. Here we go. 90 seconds. Or however long it takes. Who cares? This group won the 1974 contest with Waterloo.
ABBA.
In the 2008 contest, Latvia's entry parroted the trappings of these historical criminals.
The Cossacks?
Pirates. This tiny country won Eurovision 2 years in a row in 72 and 73.
Montenegro.
Luxembourg. Frustrated by a long losing streak, Ireland sent a puppet of this animal to the 2008 contest.
Oh yeah, was it like a fox?
The turkey. Mm. This groundbreaking 1998 winner from Israel returned to the contest in 2011.
I don't know.
Dana International.
Really seems like I made the right choice after all. But anyway, carry on.
In 2015, the Austrian representative set fire to this in the middle of their chorus.
The stage.
Their piano. Poland's 2014 entry, We Are Slavic, said that this was better than whiskey or gin.
Music.
Vodka.
This is bad. Okay.
She won the 1988 contest for Switzerland with Ne Partez Sans Moi.
Celine Dion.
In 2007, DJ Bobo warned us that these creatures are alive.
Fairies.
Vampires.
Okay.
This Aussie represented the UK in 1974 with Long Live Love.
Olivia Newton-John?
Yeah, keep it going. Just do the rest.
Okay. Oh, Finnish metal band Lordi won the contest in 2006 with this rock anthem.
Hard Rock Hallelujah.
This Irish singer has won Eurovision twice as a performer, as well as composing 1992's winning song.
Gareth Gates. That's not right.
And
Johnny Logan.
Oh.
Despite not actually being in Europe, this country won the contest four times beginning in 1978.
Israel.
This UK pop group featuring Velcro ripping outfits won in 1981.
Oh, gosh. Animotion.
Bucks Fizz.
Right,
Conchita Wurst won the 2014 contest with this operatic pop song.
Rise Like a Phoenix.
The first English language song to win Eurovision in 1967 was this, performed by Sandy Shaw.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't remember, but I'll know it when I hear it.
Puppet on a String.
Can confirm.
After
that is correct.
After a lawsuit, Jack White received a credit on this 2018 winning song.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
A toy. Toy.
Oh, Toy by Netta. I'm not your toy. Da, 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 da. Ow. Okay, I love that one. Carry on.
This Ukrainian drag queen won notice for a 2007 performance featuring a drive-in accordion hook.
Yep, it's that metal. She wears metal. I can't remember her name, though. Conchita Wurst. No, I don't know.
Verka Serduchka or Andriy Delinko. This small country has given us both Slavko Kalizic in 2017 and Hu Si in 2013.
Oh my God, y'all, I'm just dying out here. I really am glad I chose the Law and Order one now. Latvia.
Montenegro.
This, oh my God.
This Irish duo appeared on The X Factor before showing up in gold and silver armor for the 2012 contest.
Jedward.
Jedward.
Yeah. Tara with the steel.
Yes.
Very good.
The mark, I do need to jump in. Mark got six correct answers, exactly as well as he did in the Friends category.
He played Law and Order, not Friends.
But I'm very upset he does not know about Ireland's puppet. It is a turkey, and his name is Dustin.
Sure.
Sure. What else do you name a turkey?
Hedda Gobbler.